1 Corinthians 3:18. The Scriptures has much to say about a man deceiving himself or being deceived. And here it says it again, 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. If any among you seem to be wise in this world, seem to have a grasp of how to get on in the world, let him become a fool. Count what he knows in this world, what he has in this world, what he's learned in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom, and this is the reason, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The wisest man in this world, in all of his wisdom, with all of his learning, with all of his philosophy, and you know how many philosophy books have been written, how many ethical books have been written on ethics and morality and reasoning and rationality. And God says it's all just foolishness. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they're just vain, empty, useless. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Don't glory in their wisdom and their accomplishments. For all things are yours. Paul is yours. Apollos is yours. Cephas or Simon Peter's is yours. Or things of the world. Life is yours. Death is yours. Things present, things to come. All are yours. And you're Christ, and Christ is God's. But it says there in verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. How do you become a fool and become wise? Well, the Bible has much to say about being a fool. Has a lot to say about being a fool. You read the Proverbs, and I'm telling you, I couldn't tell you how many times fool and righteous are. Man's a fool and the righteous. Man's a fool and the righteous. Man's a fool. And always compared. I couldn't tell you how many times. You just look at it, your own self, and how many times it's referred to as a fool a man is. And God counted the wisdom of this world to be absolute and utter foolishness. He counted it that way. Man, what he does is he devises his way. He said, this is where I'm going to go. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to accomplish. And when he does all that, he leaves God out of the equation. He don't even think about God. God don't get in it. Or else what he does is he remakes God in the situation that he's in to fit that situation. You know, if I'm in a certain situation, I heard some fellas talking yesterday. I was watching these men in prison, and they were talking about they committed rape, they committed murder, and one woman was praying. When the man killed her, she was praying, Father, forgive him. He knows not what he does. And the man offered him a job, and he killed him anyway. And then you know what he said about himself? He said, I'm not a monster. So it made God to be, and he says, now I'm trying to better myself. I'm reading all these books to give me some wisdom, to give me some knowledge. That ain't going to change him. And that's why God says this is foolish. And a man gets up and he says, well, I know what it takes to be saved. I know if I go here, if I go there, if I do this, if I take that thing, do this other thing, if I pray this way, read this much, then I'll be all right with God. God says it's all foolish. And when this, let me give you the definition of a fool. And of course, when I read it, I can't help but think of me. A fool is a man whose stupidity is proven by his actions. A man is a fool whose stupidity is proven by his actions. And as our Lord said, a tree is known by its fruit. And there are seven fools that the Bible wants to talk about tonight in the Scriptures. Seven fools that the Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God present to our view and gives us an understanding of, and we look at them. And here he says, you become a fool that you may be wise. Because whatever you think you know, and however you think you're getting on this world, God said it's just absolute, utter foolishness. And let's look, now you don't have to look in a lot of places. First of all, look in Psalm 14. Here's an atheistic fool. Here's a fool that's atheistic. And you know what's in vogue right now in the world? Atheism. Atheism. I mean, atheism's a big deal right now. Everybody talks about being atheist, you know. Won't God off the money? Won't God cause us to... Anything to have to do with religion, they want to get done with it. And no matter how foolish and how absurd it is, but the thing that's in vogue today is to be atheistic. I saw two 10-year-old boys who wanted to be in the Boy Scouts, and they wanted to leave God out of it because they said that they didn't believe that there was a God. 10-year-old boys. How in the world is 10-year-old boy? What does he know? He ain't even old enough to shave yet. He started talking about there is no God. 10 years old. And look what it said here, Psalm 14 and 1. The fool has said in his heart, no God. Just leave there is out. The fool has said in his heart, no God. No God. That's what he says. That fool says in his heart, no God. No God. Look over here to Psalm 10 and verse 4. Look what it says. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek, leave after off again, will not seek God. Now listen to it. God is not in all of his thoughts. And over in the margin it says this, all his thoughts are, there is no God. That's what he says. There is no God. And all beloved, he wishes there was no God. So he convinces himself to think that and say that. But you let it's rare for a man to get in trouble that he don't cry out, oh God. Oh God, that's what he does. And he's a fool. A man who says there is no God. A man who says no God. That man who says God is not in all of his thoughts. That in his thoughts he says there's no God. And men say no God. And beloved, he's a fool. In the very highest degree. He's a mental fool. He's crazy. I mean, like Barnard said, a man that don't believe God, don't believe the Scriptures, is a madman. He's a madman. He's destroying himself day in and day out, and he's going to fight a war that he cannot possibly win. Not only is he a mental fool, but he's a spiritual fool. I mean, the evidence that there's a God is everywhere you look. The very fact that you've got a mind, that you breathe, that you live and move and have your being. Where do you get that at? Where do we get this power to live and move and have our being? And when that's gone, can you bring yourself back? Who gave you life in your mother's womb? Who can you say put the stars in heaven? Who can you say put the mountains there? Who made the Grand Canyon? Who made those great mountains, trees out there in the great redwood forest? Who made the... No, you can see God everywhere. And a man says, no God. No God. He'd rather look at an ape and say, I descended from him, as to look at a God that he can't see and says, he made me. And I trust him. And not only is he a mental fool and a spiritual fool, but he's a practical fool. Every day of his life, there's evidence of God everywhere he looks, and he lives like, beloved, he's going. His whole life depends upon him and his thoughts and his power and his mental faculties and his views and philosophical views of this world. And God says he's a fool. Huh? He attributes everything to nature, luck, fate, destiny, or the laws of the universe. Anybody but God. Huh? Now, that's the first fool. The atheistic fool. That's in vogue today. Look over with me over in 1 Corinthians 15. I'll show you a rational fool. You know what? That was the age of reason. Reason. And that was the time, you know, when men rationalized. They rationalized everything, the power of reason and all that. And this, here's a rational fool. I mean, he goes to his own understanding and doesn't believe the Scriptures. But look what he said here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 36. Verse 35, excuse me. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? Paul's speaking about the resurrection. How are the dead raised up? A man will say, how are they raised up? That's a good question. How are the dead raised up? And if they're raised up, with what kind of a body do they come forth with? Paul says, fool, that which you sow us is not quickened except to die. He said, whatever you put in the ground, it's going to die. It's got to die. And that's what he says here. He doesn't believe in the resurrection. He denies miracles. He doesn't know the Scriptures or the power of God. And that's why Paul goes on to say, and he says in verse 37, and that which thou sowest not the body that shall be. The whatever body you put in the ground, that's not the same kind of body that's coming out of it. You put a grain of wheat in the ground and there's going to be a great big green shoot come up and have all kinds of fruit hanging off of it. You put a little old bitty seed, an apple seed in the ground, and you got this great big tree coming out of that little bitty seed. And that's what Paul said. Don't you know that what you put in the ground is not the same thing's coming out? And what you put in the ground is not the same thing's coming out. He said, don't you understand that when you leave this body in the ground, it's got to die, and it's there because it is dead. But when it comes out of the ground, it's going to be something besides something that went in there. Not going to come out the same way. Oh, what he does is he yields to his reason. He questions instead of believes. And because it appears impossible to him, he thinks it's impossible, period. And that's why Paul says, fool, you don't sow the body that's going to be. Look over here in verse 45. Oh man, you don't sow the body that's going to be. He said here in verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, the Lord Jesus, a quickening spirit, one that gives life. And not only that, but he quickened himself from the dead. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual. The spiritual wasn't the first that was made. He was made a living soul. But that which is natural, afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth. He's earthy. And that's the way we are. We was born of this earth. We come out of the dust. We come out of the dirt. We're going back to it. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are all they also that are earthy. You're of Adam, you're going to be of Adam. And as is the heavenly, as those that are in Christ, such are they also that are heavenly. Now watch it. As we are born the image of the earthly, listen to it, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. If we bore Adam's image, we're going to bear Christ's image. If we were made dead in Adam, we're going to be made alive in Christ. As we were made a living soul in Adam, we're made a spiritual soul, living soul in Christ. And now watch what he says now. Now this I say, brethren, verse 50, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that's all we got right now. This is what we're going to sow, but this is not what's coming out of the ground. Neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. And I'm going to show you a mystery. We're not going to all sleep. We're not going to all go by the way of the grave. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. His soul in corruption, but it'll be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death, oh, put it in the ground, but it's swallowed up in victory. And that's what he goes on to say, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? This body that's going in there is not the same one that's coming out. Not the same one's coming out. You know that's what... And man's unbelief. Now let me tell you something. Here's this rational fool. There's no way a man can be raised from the dead. What kind of body is he going to have? Paul answered that question. He said it can't be possible. And because it can't be possible, so naturally he can't believe it. Well, man's unbelief and man's weakness and his reason can't make the Word of God none effect. Don't care how much he reasons with it. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ was preaching one day, and he said this. He said, "How hardly shall they that are rich enter into the kingdom of God?" And he said, "And verily I say unto you, it's easier for a man, for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, who in the world could be saved? He said, "With men, that's an impossibility. But nothing is impossible with God." So if God can save a man, don't you reckon he can save? If he can change his heart, don't you think he can change his body? If he can give him a new mind, don't you think he can give him a new body? If he gives him a new heart, don't you think he can give him a new body? Oh, my. And well, I'll tell you, you don't have your scripture bow to your reason. Your reason submits to the scriptures. And let me show you another one over here in Proverbs 14:9. Proverbs 14:9. Here's another fool. Here's the third fool. Proverbs 14:9. Look what it says here. This is a man that just has no shame about it. A shameless fool. Look what it said here in Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin. Make a mock at sin. How in the world do you make a mock at sin? How do you mock sin? Well, first of all, you rejoice in it. You rejoice in it. You have pleasure in it. And you glory in it. And you brag about it. And you tell about it. And so what you're doing is you're making a mockery. Sin is a deadly thing. Sin is a dangerous thing. Sin is a deceitful thing. And the verb sin will always and has produced death. It produced death in the first man. It'll produce death in the last man if Christ don't do something for man. So they make a mock at it. They glory in sin in their sin and glory in it, and they do it in themselves and others. They come to the place where nothing is sin. They make a mock at it. Herman was showing me, let me have that piece of paper you got, Herman. Let me have that. I'm going to read that to these folks. I'm going to give you, here's a making a mockery of sin. This is exactly what I'm telling you about. Two brothers died the other day in a car wreck. They were drinking. This is what they put on their obituary. Making a mockery of sin now. "Lord, I reckon I'm not much just by myself. I failed to do a lot of things I ought to do. But Lord, when trails are steep and passes high, help me ride it straight the whole way through. And when the falling dust I get that final call, I do not care how many flowers they send. Above all else, the happiest trail would be for you to say, 'Let's ride, my friend.'" That's making a mark of sin. Not only the people's dead, but the people who knew them, but that's making a very mockery of sin. Die in your sin. People laughing about it. I went and preached a fellow's funeral one day. And I preached them almost everybody in that family's funerals to this point. And I left. And I went back out there and all of his buddies sat around his grave. And they all got drunk on beer and stacked the beer cans up around the dirt piled up around him. That's making a mark of sin. It's making a mark of sin when that fella killed those people and then talks about, "I'm not such a monster. I'm a pretty good person. I'm a drug addict, but I'm a good person." That's making a mockery of sin. Sin is deep, dark, deceitful, despicable. And nobody is getting by with it. And all you have to do is look around at today's society. Make a mockery of every kind of sin. Homosexuality now. Make a mockery of that sin. Now you're the one that's the bigot and narrow-minded if you take a stand against it. An abortion. Killing babies one after another by the thousands and every single day. And people get mad at you if you say that's the wrong thing to do. You're killing people that God made. Huh? And adultery now, oh my, they don't even bother to commit adultery. They just live together and they get tired. They just go somebody else. Everything sin's just an absolute mockery. Married and given in marriage. They sin with arrogance. They have a talk show mentality. They listen to too many pop psychologists, and so nothing's wrong for anybody. And I tell you, let me show you something over here in Revelation. But one of these days, at the judgment, they'll find out. And you know, here's the sad thing about it. In Revelation 9, people are going to, these folks make a mockery of sin. Make a mockery of sin. I think, you know how else you make a mockery of sin? I don't have no sin. I'm not a sinner. I don't need Christ. I'm not that bad. That's how you make a mockery of sin. No seriousness about it. We ought to be more afraid of sin than anything in this world. People scared of rattlesnakes. Sin will kill you deader than any rattlesnake ever did. In fact, you're dead in your trespass. And rattlesnakes, his heart is full of rattlesnakes, full of venom. His heart is so full of venom that all it does just spits out venom. Strikes out at everything that disagrees with it. That tries to tell it that it's wrong. That tries to put people in their place where sin's at. It just strikes out at it, bites. But oh, look what it says. Here's some folks that they will gnash their tongue and still refuse to repent. Revelation 9:20. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. Watch this, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, or their thefts. They repented of it. Well, yeah, and I'm not going to do it. Look in Revelation 16. And this is after the judgments on men and women. You think sin ain't got power over men? Verse 9, it says, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not, listen to this, to give Him glory. I'm not going to give Him the glory. I'm just not going to do it. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sorrows and sores, and repented not of their deeds. You reckon these folks who had that put in there will ever repent of that one of these days? Making such a mockery of sin? And, the scripture says that they have brazen for brass foreheads and there's no shame. They make a mark at it. Let me show you another fool. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. I'll tell you something, beloved. Oh, don't never get comfortable with sin. Don't never get comfortable with it. And sin is not something that you do. It's your nature. And you do what you do because you are what you are. A man's not a liar because he told a lie. He was a liar is why he told the lie. A man's not a thief when he steals something. He stole something because he was a thief. Start right here. Star Trek here. And look at this thoughtless fool here, Matthew 7:24. It's the fourth fool. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, listen now, shall be likened unto a foolish man, a fool, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Now, beloved, he is told the same thing as the wise man. He heard the same thing. He that heareth these sayings of mine. Right? Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine. One does them, one doesn't. But they hear the same saying. One does and one doesn't. One doesn't repent, one doesn't believe. One repents, one believes. But this man, he starts building his house. And he starts building it knowing that it's all with this house that he's building on. The sands is always shifting. When he's building, he's having to move things all the time. And so, but he keeps on building. Yet he keeps right on building his hopes for the future on this sand. And that's why we sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All of it's sinking sand. They still build the house, keep right on building their house on the hopes for the future on sand. On the sand of morality. On the sand of their merit. I'm a good person, I've done some good things. On the merit of their suffering. You just don't know how I've suffered. On the merit of their own works. And then they'll stand back and say, look at the house I built. And it's on sinking sand. Oh, my every block, he'll say, I laid that house. I built that house. And every block is laid by his own self-righteousness. Every wall is raised by his free will. And then he looks around and says, you know, all my neighbors got the same kind of houses. So we all in the same boat. So I mean, you know, if they go down, I go down too. And oh, beloved, look at the results of it. Verse 27. And the rain descended, floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great, great was the fall. Man, when you get there and your house is there, down it goes. There's only one foundation to build on, and that's the Lord Jesus. He that heareth these sayings and does them. What did our Lord Jesus say about himself? A fellow said the other day, he said this, and I'm going to write him and tell him. He said, I don't understand how Christians can say that they are the only ones that has the truth. He says, you know, why don't the Muslims? Why don't the Catholics? Why the Mormons? And he started naming off all these people. Why don't they have it? And it's not that we have the truth. It's that God has the truth. And we just repeat, Christ himself says, no man comes unto the Father but by me. Christ himself said, I am the way. You won't go to the Father, you don't have to go by me. Except you believe by he, you know what you'll do? You'll die in your sins. You won't know the truth, you've got to know me. I am the truth. You won't lie? The only place you'll get it is from me. Now, if you want to take up an argument with Christ, that's what a man needs to do. But you know why we do this? Because that's what Christ said. We're not saying it's what Christ said. And that's where people have their problem. They have their problem with Christ. They have their problem not with the truth, but with Christ. Because if they're confronted with Christ, they don't have to admit that they're sinners or bound. They don't have to say, oh yes, what he says is true, and I believe it, and bow to it, or say, no, I ain't going to believe that. One or the other. That's why they're called fools. And then let me show you another fool. I mean, this is an industrious fellow. Luke chapter 12, an industrious fool. A fellow that just worked and worked and worked and worked and done good. Made lots of money, well known in town. And look at him. Luke chapter 12 and verse 20. Here's you another fool, thoughtless fool. He didn't do the atheist fool, the fool that makes a mock out of sand. Look what it said here now in verse 20. Or excuse me, verse 16, I'm sorry. And he spake a parable of them, Christ speaking now, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to dispose my fruits. I ain't got enough silos. I ain't got enough barns. I ain't. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down what barns I've got, and I'll build some bigger ones. And there I'll have enough room to bestow all my goods and my fruits. And then you know what I'll do when I get all that done? I'll say to my soul, I'll talk to myself and say, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, be merry. Don't worry. Be happy. But God said unto him, God said unto him, Fool, your actions prove your stupidity. Fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Huh? Now listen, this man's not a skeptic. He doesn't make a mock at sin. Here's a fellow boy, he's thoughtful. He thought within himself. Ain't that what he says? Verse 17, he thought within himself. He's a thoughtful man. He's a thinking man. He thought within himself. He's an active man. A careful businessman. Oh my, he's counting everything. You know, he didn't count his chicken for the egg hatch. He got it all before he needs someplace to put it. But I tell you, the only thing that he's interested in is what he can get on this earth. The only thing he's interested in is his ease, what he'll eat and his drink and what he wears and how happy he'll be in his old age. His interest was more money so he could enjoy life more. He was materialistic. And oh my. But oh, he did well for himself. Men would say, boy, that old boy started out with nothing. You ought to see him now. That old boy didn't have a pot. He didn't have nothing. Now look at him. That old boy, he was something. Look at him, man. Look at his house. Look at his barns. Look at his tractors. Look at his money. Oh, my goodness. That boy's done so good for himself. I tell you what, let's put him on the, make him chairman of the businessmen's organization. Make him, put him on all the boards around here. Put him on the board in the bank business. So they tell them banks how to run themselves. That fellow knows how to make money if anybody does. He'll get them straightened out. Boy, he did well for himself. Men would brag on him. But where it really counts before God. God said, you're nothing but a fool. You've just been a fool all your life. You see, God weighs the actions of men. By God, actions are weighed. And when God says, you're a fool, you know what he says there in the last part of verse? Verse 20 says, but God said unto him, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Now listen, then, who shall those things be which thou hast provided? They'll have a big auction. And people get everything you had for about 25 cents on the dollar. That's going to be the end of your life. That great big barn you had there. You had $300,000 in that thing. Somebody will get that for $50,000. And then they'll take all your stuff, start selling it away. That's what your life will be. Ain't that Can you see how foolish that is? Huh? Oh man, what is your life? Just a vapor. Then here's the self-confident fool in Romans chapter 1. Let me hurry up here. Self-confident fool. Look in Romans chapter 1. Self-confident fool in Romans chapter 1. In verse 21. Here's a fella got great confidence in himself. Look what it says. Because that, when they knew God, they knew God, knew there was a God, knew the existence of a God. What did they do? They glorified Him, not as God. Neither were they thankful that He was God, and that they were thankful that He made Himself known to them. But they became vain, useless, empty, nothing in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now listen, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This man knew there was a God, but he didn't lift his hands up and bless his name. Never said, "Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given me. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my family. Thank you for how I was raised, where I was raised." No, he looks and he knows, but he don't say, "God, I give you the glory." No, he does not thankful. And then he becomes like this. He becomes vain in his imagination. And he starts thinking of all that he can do and all that he can tell. And then he says, "Oh, I'm such a wise fellow. Look how I've got on in the world. I've done this for myself. I've done that for myself. I made this by my own way, pulled myself up by my bootstraps. I understand things, you know. I can read books and it just gets just like that." And I tell you, it's as foolish to believe in God, but not to honor Him as God. It's a fool to believe in God, but not to honor Him as God. If you believe that there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe. And they tremble. They tremble. They tremble. And oh, beloved, what he did is he put his imagination for the revealed will of God. He thought that God was altogether one like himself. The vain thoughts of his heart, instead of thought, he had the vain thoughts of his own mind, his imagination, and put that in the place of the Word of God and the will of God. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways." But he thought, God said, "You thought I was altogether one like you said." He says, "I see the light." But he's just dwelling in darkness. Dwelling in darkness. And then let me show you the last fool. Yeah, that was the sixth one. Let me show you the last one. 1 Corinthians 4. You're going to like this one. You'll identify with this one. I identify with one of the way I've been over the years, ain't you? Oh, I can identify with a lot of them. But look what he said here. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 10. "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised." Here's the fool who's a believer. The world counts a believer a fool. And I'll tell you something, the wise men of this world, they count as fools those who have seen Christ alone to be the wisdom of God. Christ alone to be the wisdom of God. How God can save me and stay holy, just, and righteous, and make me holy, just, and righteous, who is a wicked man. How God can take me and my sin and put all my sin away and turn around and make me righteous in Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. I see Christ alone to be the wisdom of God. Huh? And oh, beloved, I tell you, when the world thinks that you're a fool when you don't trust your works, when you don't talk about how bad you were when you were a sinner, when you don't talk about all the accomplishments you've done, the souls that you won, and how you've made the church to grow, and how many conversions you had, they think you're a fool. But I tell you, it's better to be a fool in the eyes of a world that's without Christ and be wise in God's sight. It's better to be a wise in God's sight than to be a fool in God's sight and wise in the eyes of this sin-blinded world. Now, and I tell you what, you're a fool to religion and everyone else if you don't hold a free will. If you don't believe in free will, boy, you're a fool. You mean man don't have a choice? Oh, yeah, he does. He made it. He made it in his father Adam. He chose to sin. He chose to rebel. He chose to resist. He chose to stand against God. And if God don't come to where he is, he'll go that way all the days of his life. Live like he died. That's what he held. Hold your own free will. Oh, what about your ability? Ain't you got some gifts? Ain't you got some abilities to do things? What? Can I give myself life? Can I keep my life living? I'm a pretty healthy person. I try my best to eat right. Run about 20, 25 miles a week. Lift a few weights. I try to stay healthy. But the fellow that started jogging and started running, he dropped dead of a heart attack in his 50s while he was running. So, you know, you can do everything in your power to make yourself healthy and better. But, beloved, when it's all said and done, what can we do to change the one hair on our head or the stature by one cubit? What ability do we have when it comes to the things of God? None. Oh, you're a fool if you don't hold to your giving and your prayer life. Oh, who's on your prayer chain? How many's in your prayer chain? And oh, you get these emails, and I despise these things. And they'll say, when you get to the end of them, you know, they'll say, now God will bless you if you'll pass this on. And you know, that's superstition. Just get out your good luck charm or your four-leaf clover or your rabbit's foot and rub that for all that's going to do. Every time I get one of them, I delete it. I ain't sending it to nobody. I've already been blessed of God. I'm not looking for blessings. I haven't been blessed. Every day, we're not looking for blessings. We've already been blessed. Anyway, you know why we're looking for them. We've got them. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What are we looking for? We done found what other folks are hoping to get when they get to the end of the way. There's ending places, there's starting place. Oh, why do you go so far to go to church? Why do you drive 50 miles? Why do you drive 60 miles to go to church? Pass all them other churches. There ain't no difference in them. How can you believe God controls all things? Don't you believe that is God the cause of everything, the first cause of everything? Is He the cause of your wife having cancer? Is He the cause of your wife dying, your husband getting sick? Is He the cause of that finance? Is He the cause of everything that happens in this world? Yes. If He ain't, who is? If it's the devil, let's worship him. If it's your free will, let's worship ourselves. If it's by our power and ability, let's brag on ourselves. But if God rules and controls everything in heaven, earth, and hell, let's worship Him. Huh? And how can you not believe Jesus loves everybody? I fell in the door here one day. Oh, great big man. He beat on that outer door. Opened the door. Reached in his pocket. He pastored a Free Will Baptist Church out on 127 North. Cumberland Free Will Baptist Church. And he pulled this thing out of his pocket. And he said, did you write this? I said, let me look at it. He said, and the title of the article in the newspaper, Does God Love Everybody? I said, yes, I did. He said, well, I tell you what. He said, there's a woman come to church. She read that. She said, if God don't love everybody, I'm just not going to come to church anymore. He said, you just heard. You call somebody quit church. I said, because she said, if God don't love anybody, I'll just quit. And many of us, we believe we had some conversation that day. Oh, my. How do you believe Jesus loves you? Don't believe that? How do you believe that God makes a difference in men instead of men making a difference in themselves? Look what Paul says here. In verse 10, 1 Corinthians 14, we're fools for Christ's sake. Go ahead and count me a fool for Christ's sake. If I count Him to be everything, I count Him to be my salvation, my righteousness, my justification, forgiveness in Him, my salvation by Him, that He loved me, chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world, that I'm in Him. And we're fools for it. But He says, but these folks are wise. You're wise. You're the fool. That's what they tell us. We're the ones wise. You folks are fools that believe the way you believe. Huh? Oh, we're weak. We say, yes, we're weak. We have no strength. We have no ability. God's got to do it. We believe, we trust in God for every single thing. But you're strong. You can do it all on your own. You just need a little help from God. You're honorable. Everybody honors you. Brags on you. Talks about what a great work you're doing for Jesus. But we're despised. We're despised. That's what you folks are that believe in this sovereign free grace of God. That's what you are. You that believe in election. You believe that God loves His people with an everlasting love and chose them and gave them grace in Christ before the world ever began. We were justified. We were justified in eternity. And made to know it in time. Well, man, that's foolish. Well, I'm a fool. I'm a fool for Christ's sake, ain't you? Amen. Amen.